Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and ghouls, step right up. Behind this curtain lies a ghastly concoction of delight, horror, fantasy, and terror. Your every wish is our command. Your every whimsical desire brought to life. But I'm warning you, there's always a price. Welcome to the greatest order!
And welcome back to the greatest show on earth that is Talking Terror. As always, I'm your old pal, the King of Horror, Andy G. Welcome you back to this episode of the show, where tonight we're talking about my film pick of the week, which is Spookies from 1986, directed by Brendan Faulkner, Tom Durant, but also maybe Jeannie Joseph, because there's a lot to talk about with this movie in the history. But it's a fun one, and we hope you guys have fun. But of course, as always, I am joined by the bold and beautiful, the Golden Geek Keith.
Hello, 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 hello. But I'd like to I know normally we're all about the fun, the gags, all the hijinks and everything like that. But, you know, being that we are, we're all from the New York, New Jersey area here, I would say, you know, it's proper to take a moment of silence to honor 9/11, which, you know, happened.
Thank you.
Many years ago, but, you know, still seems like yesterday. And, just a quick moment of silence on that. You know, obviously, welcome to Talking Terror. Everybody, protect your cats and dogs, okay? Because there are people eating them in this country.
Oh, please don't. Because I had a whole thing with a guy on my Facebook page about that. He's like, they are, though. And I was like, they're not. Please stop.
They're being eaten, okay? It's been happening. It's the truth. We know. It's on television. It's on TV. It has to be real.
I saw it on TV.
Oh.
I saw it on TV.
The Google girl saw it on TV, too.
There's body cam footage. It happened. There's body cam. There's a town hall about that. Okay. Like, sure. He has a concept of a plan, guys, for healthcare. So keep that in mind in November. He's got a concept.
It is.
What a wild fucking time we're living in, man.
Bro, that shit was fucking insanity.
Dean, weigh in.
So cool. I saw on social media there's a certain proprietor of an Italian restaurant that used to dance very funny, who is convinced that animals are being eaten left and right, and he's seen the footage to prove it.
Ooh. Bring it up. Show us.
Indeed.
I want the receipts. That's all I ask for. If you're going to say it, give me the receipts.
Just, remember. Hug your animals a little tighter tonight. Give them those cuddles. you never know what may happen tomorrow. They may cross the rainbow bridge one way or the other. they may end up in the belly of a beast.
I had a guy on my Facebook page that was so convinced this was true that he sent me a picture of a black man holding a goose walking around the streets, and he's like, "See? Proof." I was like, okay.
Goose.
Where did he get it? Is it from the wild? Where is it from? Why did they call 911 and say that this guy was holding a goose? Why are they clutching their pearls at this? So I was like, it's quite possible that the people in Ohio are a little bit against the Haitian community. No, dude. It's nothing. Yeah, maybe a little bit. I'm astounded by the people that believe this is fact, that they're taking our ducks and they're taking our cats and dogs and just chewing on them. Okay, sure.
Cats, like, and dogs living together.
Mass hysteria.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, we are literally living in this playground of weird ideas. Like, I can't believe it. It's like 2024. We are now living in the idea of immigrants eating cats, dogs, ducks, geese. He has a concept of the plan. God, this whole country's fucked. God.
Oh.
But Talking Terror is the last bastion of hope.
Final.
Yes, yes, indeed. Indeed. Hi, Dean. How are you today?
I am just fantastic.
Have and you had any cats or dogs recently?
No, and my dog is not on the menu.
Yeah, no geese either. We're not picking apart anything from wildlife in the parks. God, man, like that, it felt like a fever dream, that whole debate the other night. Wow. I thought I felt like an Idiocracy the entire time I watched it. I was like, this is Idiocracy, but now it's a documentary. It's not a fake film anymore. Like,
it was definitely definitely something to watch, that is for sure. It was entertaining. And, it did not it's what plants need.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It's all about the Broncos.
Yeah. I can't believe that happened. It did, but it happened. I mean, we're all fucked either way. Come November. It's like, again, lesser versus evils versus evil. I don't know. I don't vote anymore, so I'm out of it. So whatever happens, happens. I don't believe in the electoral system. It's broken. But on a lighter note, my wedding is happening next month, and the Ghoul is going to be part of it, and the Mad Monkey, who was a part of our show at one point, is going to also be a part of it. Thank you guys so much for buying sheet masks to walk down the aisle with me to Bray Wyatt. I have an Uncle Howdy mask, finally. $60, thanks to Audrey. I got a lantern, the mask, and we are going to have a kick-ass time. Dean, I know you can't make it, but at the same time, you'll be there in spirit, but yeah. I'm really just kind of looking forward to this moment.
For sure.
Yeah. But I think Ghoul and Monkey going to have a good time. It's going to be weird. It's going to be fun. But, you know, in this whole kind of landscape of bullshit, let's have this fun before everything turns to garbage.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
I think it will certainly be something. For sure. For sure.
Mm-hmm. Sheet masks, and of course, Manny G will not be doing that. I'll have to find a place for him somewhere. Doesn't want to do it. Doesn't want to walk up with us. That's fine. So he will be somewhere.
Damn it, Manny G. Damn it. You should join us.
I'm not doing that weird shit. He's like, I'm not doing that. He's like, you know, Keith, you know, and the Monkey, great. He's like, but I don't like that shit. I don't like weird shit. So where do you want me? And I was like, sitting in the back. So that's exactly where I want you. If you're not willing to join us, that's fine. He's like, okay, cool.
Can't have him sit in the back. Is he going to film it at least for us?
No, he doesn't want to do that either. So I got to find somebody to film
Maddie,
it.
Gee.
Yeah, he was like, I don't want to film it. He's like, what am I going to do, stand with a camera? And I was like, yeah, like, just film it. Like, the guy that's running our wedding, Craig, was like, I'll walk in and I'll say, everybody, the groom's about to walk in with his groomsmen. Everybody turn on your cell phone lights. There's the fireflies tonight. Get ready. Let's have fun. And I was like, can't you just film it? He's like, I don't feel comfortable doing that. I was like, all right, well, I guess you could just hang out. I don't know what else to tell you, dude.
Dude.
He was like, I guess I'll just kind of sit down and watch. I was like, great. And he got kind of offended, and I was like, you know, listen, man. It's like, either put on the sheet mask or not. He's like, no. All right. So Matty G will be there in some form, but he definitely will not be walking down with us. So no worries, Ghoul. You could toss him your sheet mask. Put it on, man.
Can I, like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to mess with Matty G too much. You know,
no.
You know me. I'd love to get all kinds of fucking weird. Yeah, I'll fucking rub up on him. It's just me, my sheet mask. I'd hang a little sack out, but, you know, I'm sure Dylan will be there, and that's like completely wrong. So
no, he won't be there. No, he's not coming. So
no, Dylan.
It's just me managing.
Aww.
No, Dylan. No, Jen.
Bummer, I was
his
hoping
wife.
To meet the kid.
I know, but yeah, he wants trick or treat, and I was like, I can't take it away from that kid. Like, enjoy it, man. Trick or treat, you know. He's kind of bummed that he can't be there, but he's like, trick or treating though, and I was like, yeah, dude. I was like, enjoy it. So yeah, he'll be sitting it out. So it'll just be Manny G and my parents, and we're hoping to offend as many people as possible. We've got a lot of things. So we got some unholy rosary beads and holy water and a whole bunch of shit. So I'm expecting my parents and my brother to leave pretty early. So we'll have to time it to see when they leave.
Yeah,
when they just look at their watches.
I couldn't
like,
get
yeah.
the Friday off, so you know, I'll be able to chill, but then I will end up having to head home too. So.
Well, of course, but at least we'll be able to be there.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
The monkey, I think he's coming the day before, I think he said he's going to stay before the day and then stay the day after so he can kind of help me with whatever help I need. I was like, I don't really need a lot of help. And he's like, yeah, but I'll be there the night before. So I have to come over to the apartment and help you get dressed. I'm like, what are you going to dress me? I just need to lay down in my bed and be like, put my pants on.
You're going to tongue bathe you?
Yeah, he's like, but I can help you. I was like, I don't know if I need help getting dressed. I think I can do it on my own. He's like, yeah, but motivation. I was like, no, I think I'm good. He's like, all right, then I'll just be at the hotel and I'll just see you when you get there. I was like, okay, great. I was like, I appreciate it. Don't get me wrong. I was like, but we can make out afterwards.
Sorry, I'm eating an M&M. Yeah, he had mentioned to me about heading in the day before. I just couldn't afford it with the hotel, and fucking getting the time off of work was just difficult.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, and we try to tell everybody that. Like, it's a lot. Like, you know, if you could just make it for the day and then just kind of bounce out, like, that's cool. Like, you know, we'll be there. But, you know, Monkey was like, I'm going to be there all 2 days. And I was like, okay, great. He's like, do you want me to come over to your apartment?
I'm going to get there, and I'm going to suck your balls. I'm going to suck your balls. I'm going to make your dick hard before you fucking lay down with Audrey that night. He's going to jerk you off.
He was so ready.
He's going to totally be your fucking fluffer, bro.
I was like, dude, I love it. Thank you so much. He's like, I'm just here for you, man. I was like, it's great. I was like, but I don't want you in my bed the night before. I was like, go sleep with your wife. He's like, I'm just saying, I can sleep over. I was like, no, it's fine. I love you, but, like, I need to be by myself before the wedding. He's like, it's okay. I'll be here. I'm like, he's like, just let me know. And I was like, it's fine. And I was like, I love you so much. But, yeah, like, I don't want to wake up in my bed with you next to me going, hey, you ready? Don't do it. He's like, okay, fine. He's like, just letting me know. It's an option. I was like, no, I'm good. I'm like, that's a monkey. He's fully involved. He's fully ready. That man has been such a bright boy from
the
start.
He's a fucking bomb, bro.
He's so cool, but he's been such a bridezilla from the start. When I started getting ready for this wedding, he's like, what do we need to do? What's the color coordination? What are we doing? I was like, I don't know yet, man. I was like, give me a second to think. He's like, all right, so what are the Ghoul and I doing? Matching suits? Matching colors? He's like, let's go. And I was like, all right, calm down. He's like, I just want to be perfect. I was like, are you getting married or me? He's like, I know. I talked to him on Friday, and he was just like, I can't wait. He's like, just we have to coordinate. I was like, we're not fucking girls, man. Wear whatever you want. I was like, the Ghoul could show up in a pair of boxers, like, perfect. He's like, but we got to look good. I was like, we will.
That'll make Matt uncomfortable.
Anything that can make him uncomfortable, it's going to be great.
A banana hammock?
Oh, that would be so great. I'd be like, dude, do it. Because Audrey's stepson, Dex, is going to be dressed up like Sam for trick-or-treat. And he's going to be throwing cockroaches and rats and eyeballs on the floor. And he's got these little bottles of water to squirt, unholy water. And I was like, squirt my brother. I was like, just get really in his face. You know? And just stare at him, just like, you know? And I was like, just see what happens. And I was like, he's going to leave. And he was like, really? And I was like, yeah. I was like, just make it really uncomfortable for him. Hand him a holly hobar and just be like, here you go. Don't say anything. Like, her stepson was like, I cannot wait to make your brother uncomfortable. I was like, oh, he's going to be uncomfortable from the moment he walks in when he sees, you know, the skulls and the upside-down crosses and the unholy rosary beads that we put out. I was like, yeah, it's going to be great. He's going to be heavily breathing going, I think I need to go home now. All right. Well, there's the exit. Oh, no, it's closed off. I just want to go home. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. Like, oh, yeah, good. But, yeah, we have a lot of fun things planned. So that's all going to happen this weekend. Audrey's son Dexter is coming up, and Audrey's friend Karen from Virginia is coming up, and they're going to be making all the set pieces, all the centerpieces. And I was like, I'll just be outside drinking whiskeys. So if you guys need me, I'll be up there. I'm like, yeah, no, it's fine. We don't need you. And I was like, that's great. I was like, if you need my credit card, here it is.
Yeah, that is it. Just pay. Just pay, man.
Yep. That's exactly what I said. I was like, listen. I was like, here it is. I was like, whatever you need to buy, buy it. Like, she bought a ton of shit already. And she was like, we need to get more. And I was like, it's fine. I was like, yes to everything. I haven't said no to anything. I was like, because you know what? I was like, yes, because I want to make it great for her, but also for us. But yeah, man, like, it's weird planning a wedding. I was like, every fucking weekend, it's just nothing but planning. I was like, can't wait for it to be over. Yeah, it's crazy, man.
Very busy, man.
See, but that's the thing. It's just beginning.
Right? Is it just beginning? Because I feel like, yeah, it's like it's. I'm like, man, every day is spent planning, like getting RSVPs and planning cards and planning what the room's going to look like and getting with the guy. You know, I was like, man, I can't wait for this to be over. Just get to the day. Like, it's a wild experience.
Crazy.
Indeed.
You know, and I'm so glad for everybody that can make it. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, it's in 50 days now, I think. Yeah, 50 days. So, yeah, the countdown has begun for our wedding. But enough about my bullshit, because I'm sure you guys have had enough.
I don't know.
It's
so much that many. Is it? It's not 50 days.
Yeah,
is
just
it?
Keep on talking,
what's
man.
What's today's date?
Okay, 50
today's
days,
11,
yeah.
So.
Yeah,
you're right.
You don't remember today's date?
Yeah, I know.
A moment of silence. You don't remember the date?
Yeah, listen, okay, you know my brain, bro. It fucking leaks.
No, I looked it up earlier. And I was like, how many? Carl K. Jr.? Are you there? Did you duck a bear in Central Park?
Maybe.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's wild. So I appreciate you guys putting up with me through these last couple weeks until my wedding, because I'm not used to it. Like, I never thought I was going to get married. And then all of a sudden I am. And all this planning and all these things have to go into it, making it like the perfect Halloween kind of wedding. It's been weird, but it's been wild. Like, it's been great. You know, as much money as I've dumped into it and as much planning as going into it, like, I just kind of want it to work out. Like, you know, you just kind of hope everything goes off kind of right. Like, even the day of, when I get married, I kept asking Audrey, I was like, when do I need to be at the hotel? I was like, because you're staying the night before. I'm going to be at the apartment before. I'm going to get fucked up the night before, so when do I have to get up? Let me know. And she's like, I don't know. Like, 9, 10. I was like, okay, great. I was like, because I'm going to be drinking pretty heavily the night before. You know, just kind of being nervous and you know, getting ready for it. She's like, no, you're fine. Like, we're not going to do anything until at least 1:30. So, yeah, you know, just when you feel right, you know, come over at 11. I was like, okay, great. So, but I'm sure the monkey's going to be calling me every hour on the hour at, like, 8 a.m. You awake? You ready? You ready to go?
Yep.
You dressed?
Yep. Yep.
I already know him. I can hear my handwriting.
I'll probably be getting there around like the 10:30, 11 area. So yeah, this way we can we'll get you dressed.
Yeah, I figured that was going to be the time that you'd be getting there too, because I know the monkey's already going to be there. Like I said, he's going to be staying the night before. Then he's going to be staying the night after, you know. But he's like, yeah, I'm going to be messaging you every hour on the hour until you're ready. And I was like, all right. He's like, yeah, no, dude, I'm going to be fucking texting you like 8 o'clock in the morning. Are you up yet? Are you dressed? Is your beard trimmed? Are you suited up? And I was like, all right. It's like, I'll be up. He's like, but I know you. You're going to be drinking whiskey. And I was like, I know. He's like, yep, you have to be ready. He said, I'm going to be on your ass. I was like, fine. I was like, why don't you come by and pick me up then, bitch? Drive me to the thing.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, no, you drive yourself. And I was like, fine. And I was like, I'll bring a flask. No, it'll be fine. Like, I'll drive myself. But it's like, do you have your flask? No. I was like, yes, I do. And he's like, I'm drinking on the way.
Bro, we'll come roaring in, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Donuts and shit.
Yep, right in the parking lot of Loxley's. The groom is here with the groomsmen. Yeah, that would be fucking tight.
No,
yeah,
we're not gonna do no donuts. You know, as fun as that might sound. I mean, I do need new tires, but you know, at like $300 a tire.
No,
donuts.
We'll just pretend like we did them. We'll pull up and we just did donuts in the last parking lot that we were in. Yeah, man, they were impressed. Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. You still smell that rubber.
Mm-hmm. Pulling up in that sexy red Sid. Here we are, man. All right. Dean, so we are back talking about Talking Terror, talking about horror news. What do you have for us? Because we were off last week, so update us.
Man, I never thought we were going to get here.
So much news.
I'm sorry.
But here we are.
Sorry to talk off.
No,
yeah,
it's fine. Please. You have a lot on your plate, King of Horror, these days, and you need a safe outlet to express your feelings about all these changes that are going through in your life.
I love it talking about you guys. I really do. Like, this has been my outlet. You know, like, it's been so great. Otherwise, I don't have an outlet. So
changes.
I'm glad.
Unfortunately, only posting I saw about this news was legitimately posted today. Yesterday. It was posted yesterday. The article was posted yesterday that Friday the 13th, Part 4, the final chapter, is returning to theaters for its 40th anniversary.
No way.
And it's going to be in the theaters from only yesterday through the 15th. I don't even know if it's showing on all of the days. It will definitely be showing on Friday the 13th this month, but you can go to ParamountScares.com for theater timing and ticket info, and this is brought to you by Paramount Screams and Fangoria as part of their Scream Greats series. The reason I express my frustration is because I would love to see Friday the 13th in the movie theater, but unlike that, the horror re-releases from like Fathom Events, like last year when I got to see Christine and the original Exorcist, they usually give you like a month plus notice. And
usually,
with this very short notice, I'm unfortunately thinking that there's a really good chance I'm not going to be able to fit it in my schedule over the next couple days. So I'm kind of disappointed about that.
Yeah, I know,
but
I won't. I won't see it in theaters.
If your schedule is clear, Friday the 13th, the final chapter, is currently playing in the movies and will be through Sunday the 15th.
Oh, I might have to check that out because I have a lot of time on Saturday. Like I was saying, with the girls going over to make decorations for the wedding, I might just sneak out Friday the 13th Part 4 in theaters. I would love that because I saw Beetlejuice on Sunday. I wasn't happy.
I got a question, Dean. Where can you find the times and whatnot again?
Yeah, good idea.
ParamountScreams.com. I'm actually pulling up all of your areas on their website right now.
You're pull up my area?
Yes, I'm going to pull on the area. No, not Monroe Court, New Jersey. Monroe.
Thank you.
New Jersey.
You dead fuck.
Put that in your computer, Teddy.
What's the corkscrew, Ted?
Ghoul, what is the zip for Monroe?
08831.
Send all your fan mail to 0081.
Oh, damn. It's not playing anywhere near you, according to the site.
I,
the closest one
I didn't
like...
think so. I could. It wasn't in any of the fucking AMCs.
Middletown, Delaware.
Middletown, Delaware.
And, King, you're in Lancaster, right?
Yes, yeah. 17602.
Yeah,
Lancaster.
Playing in the fucking next town to him.
Also, no, it's not. Also, the closest one is Middletown, Delaware, 50 miles away.
Middletown, Delaware.
What's
going on? AMC
One. West Town Movies in Middletown, Delaware.
West Town Movies.
There's also Cinemark Egyptian 24 in Hanover, Maryland. And Cinemark Montage Mountain in Moosic, Pennsylvania.
I've been to the one in Hanover. That's a really nice fucking theater. But, yeah, no, I'm not willing to travel that far.
It's a two-hour drive to get there.
Yeah.
You know what? As cool as it might be,
it's
not that cool. You know what? No, I can watch it on my big 65-inch television, which looks gigantic in my tiny living room.
Yeah,
the closest theater to me was 45 to 50 minutes, and I would have made that drive for it, but unfortunately, it's just not going to be in the cards, I don't think. Maybe things will change over the weekend, but as of now, it's not looking good.
Promising.
If I would have known about this like 3 weeks ago, it would be like a totally different story.
Oh, sure, but there's never anything close when it comes to cool shit like that so far.
Well, for me, like I said, it's only 19 miles. You know, it's about 45 minutes in Daly City, so I would have done that. And I've driven further. Like, I drove like an hour plus to see the original Halloween because I had never seen that in the theater before.
Right.
I think it's ridiculous that I have a fucking 1,001 movie theaters around me and not one of them is playing this movie on Friday the 13th. Is even playing a Friday the 13th movie on Friday the 13th.
Yeah. Nothing around here is, so yeah. A fucking bummer. But
bullshit.
Anyway, so that's happening. So anybody out there, if you get a chance to see it, lucky for you. It would have been great, but, you know, it doesn't appear to be in the for your intrepid host here, Talking Terror. But moving on.
It's the first full Friday the 13th that I remember watching. You know, like, I remember seeing the snake scene from part 3 in the movie theater while I was seeing E.T., and I had gone down to find my guardian. But, yeah, I remember that one and watching it in my uncle's basement in Staten Island. And, kind of blew my fucking mind.
Did it? Yeah.
For sure.
The snake scene from 3?
No. The snake scene. That's the fucking snake scene from 3 scared the shit out of me, bro.
Yeah.
I think it might have been my aunt that I was with.
With Harold?
It was my mom, but it might have been my aunt. But, it was in the movie theater. So she put the 3D glasses on. I had never fucking seen a 3D movie before. I had no idea what was the fuck about to happen. Fucking snake came jumping out of the fucking scene. Dude, I almost shit my fucking pants. I took off like a bat out of hell.
I'll never forget watching Friday 3 with you in your house when I had the 3D glasses. And we're like, let's watch it in 3D. And I was like, this is the fucking coolest shit ever. Like, you know, watching Harold with the broomstick. Like, I was like, oh, shit. We know it, yeah. It was so crazy, like, you know, but yeah. I mean, my first experience with Friday the 13th was the original. which was on USA Up All Night with Paula Scheer and Gilbert Gottfried. They played it on Up All Night. And I was like, holy shit, this movie is fucking tits. I was like, can't get any better than this. And I was like, there's more? Oh, shit. Got to check out more of these Friday the 13th movies. And I was like, oh, Jason's in the second one. Holy shit. And that's where I got Joe Bob Briggs, because he was playing them on TNT. He's like, it's a Friday the 13th marathon, y'all. We're playing
I had seen 4 and 5 and 6, I want to say, before I saw 1, I was thoroughly shocked that it was Jason's mother at the end of the first movie. Because I had seen all these other Friday the 13th, and in my head I thought all of them were fucking Jason movies.
Like, who the fuck is this old woman?
Blonde, I'm like, holy shit! It wasn't Jason? Oh no, it's Mom!
Why the fuck is this happening? It's supposed to be Jason! You know, and that's another one of those series where it just was always kind of strong for me, like the Friday 13th series, where it's like, I didn't really have a bad entry until Jason X. And then Jason Goes to Hell. I was like, yeah, 2 really bad fucking entries, but the first 7 were so much fun. I was like, we can only get better from here because Freddy kind of dropped off after 4. You see part 5, Dream Child, and you're like, we're kind of done. And then you see part 6, and it's like, this is worse. But, like, Jason kind of always had that main line where he was like, you know what, we're still having fun. It's still Jason. And then when you get to Jason Goes to Hell, you're like, all right, we've jumped the shark. Like, we've reached a Fonzie moment where it's not fun anymore, where I feel like the other series kind of jumped it a long time ago.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, Freddy, you know, became – the problem with the Nightmare on Elm Street movies are they became less about the nightmare and it was more about Freddy Krueger, you know, and that was the problem. You know, you can't have this super – alpha personality, because that takes away from the actual purpose of the film, you know, whereas at least with Friday the 13th, it was a formula that worked every single time. Give us a bunch of somewhat pretty teenagers, put them in a fucking environment, and then just send a fucking silent juggernaut through to kill them. Most of the time, we wanted to see them die because, you know, they weren't always the nicest of people. And then sometimes you didn't want to see them die because they were really nice, and you were like, oh, fuck, man, Jason really is indiscriminate. He doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, and Jason was always kind of fun, like I said, at least until Jason Goes to Hell. But with Freddy, I felt like part 4 was like the penultimate, where it's like, you know what, we can't do any better than this. It's the MTV generation. He's having a lot of fun killing people. And then you go to Dream Child, and it's like, what the fuck are we doing anymore? Like, this really, the concept is great about him feeding nightmares to this kid, but it was executed so poorly. And then it's like, okay, well, we're going to kill him off in 92. What do we got? Freddy's dead. And that movie was just comedy. Like, it was just like kids. You can watch this. It's fine. Like, if you're a young kid, watch it.
PG-13, man.
Like, that was borderline PG-13. Like, that was, like, it could be PG if you wanted it to. Like, there was not a lot of blood, not a lot of scares. It was Tom Arnold and Roseanne Barr showing up. Like, you know, the concept, again, for that movie is great, but it was executed so poorly because they wanted to make it funny. Like, Rachel Talalay wanted to make it funny. And I was like, you can't. You can't make Freddy too funny because you lose us. Like,
well, all
he
the
hype
for that was all about the end of the movie being in 3D, you know? So that was a big gimmick as well. And that did not that did not age well because you try to – like, at least Friday
it's
the
13th.
Bad.
It's bad.
You know, you definitely see that it was a 3D movie because there's certain effects that you're just like, okay, whatever. But that was bad. That was like, wow, okay, man, this really does – it sucks to watch it because it's so bad at the end there. Like, I really wish they made a version of it where that whole ending was just kind of, like, changed to where it's not, like, also dependent on the 3D shit.
It was just – it was so bad because you have to rely on that 3D for the ending of that movie, and it's just – it was bad 3D. You had the dream demons going into Freddy, and it's like, well – okay, fine, it's cool, but You know, it's like, it just, it was a bad way to end Freddy because it was so comical and it was so over the top. He's using the power glove to kill Breckenmeyer. He's like, this glove's got power. It's like, yeah, you're just slapstick. That's not the Freddy I knew from, you know, Dream Warriors, where he's got one-liners, but it's still working. It's still scary. You know, it's like, this is for the kids. Obviously, the kids want to see Freddy, so let's make a safe one. You know, and it works in that way, where a kid could see that. And then Wes wanted to do New Nightmare, and it's like, it's too late to do meta. It's like, oh, he's a demon, and I have to keep him, you know, kept in the world by making these movies. And it's fine, but that leather coat and the weird leather pants, and it's like, yeah. We're so far removed from what we love about Freddy. Like, at that time, it was kind of dead. Like, Freddy was obviously the zeitgeist of pop culture, but it ran its gamut, unlike Jason and Michael. Like, they could never reach the levels of Freddy.
Gamut.
You know, like, Michael was fine for the time it was. You know, Jason was always strong. Michael kind of struggled in the 80s because it's like, well, what do we do now? Well, he's got a niece. That's kind of cool, right? Yeah, I'll go after his niece for a little while. But how can you keep that going? You know, it's a struggle. You know, I've always said once Donald Pleasance died, there's no more Michael movies. Once you lose your Captain Ahab, there's no more Michael. That's why I never liked H2O, Resurrection, even the David Gordon Green movies. There was always something missing from those movies that I wanted. They brought it with Sartain, but Sartain in 2018 was evil. He was like, I just want to see Michael kill in the field like Loomis did. Like, yeah, it's weak. Like, it's like they tried but failed. Like, it was a misstep.
Indeed. Indeed. What else you got, Dean?
Yes. I will tell you what else I got. I don't have any inclination in really watching it, but this Friday, the recent edition of The Crow will hit video on demand.
For free?
Purchase and rental option. Apparently, this one is a colossal bomb budget of around $50 million. It has made just $9 million and a global total of $18 million against its $50 million budget. And they have continued to argue that this is not a remake, but a new adaptation of the source material. I, from the second I heard about this, never thought this was a good idea. I think that the Crow as a character has no grip whatsoever on any kind of younger audience. And the Crow original version from the 90s was such a product of its time with its doom and gloom and grunge soundtrack, aside from, of course, the tragedy that took place, that because of all of those things combined is held just near and dear to the audience that loves it. And I don't think it's an audience that's willing to accept a new version the way maybe horror fans were open to a David Gordon Green Halloween. So I am not surprised whatsoever that the Crow remake, reboot, reimagining of the source material, whatever the fuck you would like to call it, I'm not surprised in any way that it is the colossal bomb that it is.
Because you could just make it a Crow sequel. Like, they've done so many Crow sequels. Like, why do you have to go back to the original and make it Eric Draven? Like, just make another Crow movie. Like, the original Crow is so appreciated by a bunch of people. Just make another Crow movie. That's what I've always said from the beginning. Like, just make another Crow movie. Like, don't be like, you know what, this is going to be a reboot of the original. It's like, well, so many people appreciate that original that you're kind of making it seem like we could do better, and you can't. Like, I saw those trailers, and I was like, it's not good. Like, and I'm not a fan of the Crow by any means. Like, I only watched it so I could finger goth girls back in high school. So, you know, I really didn't care for the movie, but I could see why people were like, you know what, I don't like it because it's not necessary.
And you know, Bill Skarsgård, who plays the Crow in this one, has been also been incredibly vocally critical of it, like in the weeks leading up to its release. Apparently, he was not at all into the vision of the director and choices that were made. Yeah, he has spoken out very negatively of the film also.
Wow, I didn't know that. But yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Just this seemed like a bad idea from the get-go.
Not going to get people in the theater, buddy. Kind of want the movie to make money.
I mean, that's abysmal.
But, you know what?
He said,
give him respect, you know what I mean? Shit, you know, if it is what it is, and that's the truth. I didn't have any problem going to see it. I just have not gotten to the theater in the last few weeks to really see anything. I haven't seen anything since Alien Romulus. So I'll be getting back soon. I just got a bunch of stuff going on at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the same boat. Like, I still have yet to see Alien Romulus, but I did see Beetlejuice, and I was like, I guess I'll have to rewatch that one.
It's interesting. It's interesting that you say that, King of Horror, because on the opposite end of the financial theatrical spectrum, saw last week's release of the long-awaited Beetlejuice sequel. That combined from its Thursday preview through the weekend pulled in just shy of $100 million in its opening weekend. So based on its budget, after just the 4 days, it has already broken even and has lots of good positive buzz and word of mouth. So it looks like Beetlejuice's sequel is going to be pretty successful financially. And even with that being said, as soon as there's some success, the whispers and words already start bringing up the sequel word, but Tim Burton has casted doubt on there being any Beetlejuice 3 that he's involved in. He says at the pace that this world seems to move, he would be 100 years old by the time a third Beetlejuice were to come out. So at this time, there appears to be no plans for a third edition, but it's looking like the second edition is going to be a win for all who are involved.
Yeah,
I mean,
hoping to see it soon.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I was kind of just all right, it's fine. Like, you know, I was never the biggest Beetlejuice fan to begin with, but yeah, it's kind of like, it was fun, I mean, for what it was, but, you know, for there to be a third, it's like, all right, you know, it's going to have to do a lot better than what it did. But, you know, it's, again, I'm not a fan of Jenna Ortega, so that took me out a lot, seeing her in that movie, because I'm just not a fan. I don't get why people like Jenna Ortega. She's just a very milquetoast actress, you know, even in the Scream movies. I mean, she's fine. You know, I was there for Michael Keaton, and he delivered, but at the same time, there was a lot of Jenna Ortega, and I was like, ugh, please. Anybody but her. But yeah, she's the it girl right now for horror movies, so guess I'm going to have to deal with her for a couple more years until her Jamie Lee Curtis light wears out, as it were.
Well, we will see what happens. In the heyday, or the back end of the heyday of the Twilight novelization universe, not novelization, they were originally novels, they were not novelizations based on films, but anyway, Stephanie Meyer wrote one that was called Midnight Sun. And basically, Midnight Sun was a retelling of the story from the first Twilight book, except from the perspective of an entirely different character, that character being Edward Cullen. There's now going to be an animated series based on Midnight Sun that will be going to Netflix. There is no word on who will be voicing any of the characters, if any of the original actors will be doing any voices, or any word about episode count and or release date. The Midnight Sun animated series will be going to Netflix.
If I remember that one right, the Ghoul Girl, who is a big fan of the Twilight books and movies, I don't believe she could even finish that book because it was so dull. And it was literally, like you just said, it's a retelling from the other character's perspective, and it really did not add anything to the to the story.
I mean, we'll see if it actually happens. I mean, these projects get announced and then it just doesn't happen. Like True Blood, they were supposed to have a revival of True Blood, where it's going to be a new kind of thing of True Blood, and then that never came to fruition. So we'll see if this thing happens with the animated series of Midnight Sun. I mean, who knows? Like, vampires kind of have their day in the Midnight Sun, as it were, but I can't imagine Midnight Sun being any good. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the Twilight series, but we covered Eclipse on the show, thanks to the Ghoul. But yeah, it's pretty bad.
You're welcome.
Yeah, go Edward Cullen, Team Edward, as it were. But all right, Dean, what else are we talking about?
I'll give you Breaking Dawn Part 2 soon. I'll give you guys the ending before you ever see the beginning.
I've already seen them all, so you're not spoiling anything. Man.
Please don't ruin it for me. But speaking of Netflix, Stranger Things creators, the Duffer Brothers, have a Netflix series on the way that is called The Burrows. It's being billed as a supernatural mystery series, and they have announced, some notable names in the cast, including Alfred Molina, Gina Davis, and Bill Pullman. And the brief premise of this supernatural mystery series, The Burrows, has a seemingly picturesque retirement community in New Mexico, where a group of unwilling heroes must band together to stop an otherworldly threat from stealing the one thing that they don't have, time. That is The Burrows, coming from the Duffer Brothers for Netflix.
Shouldn't they be worried about Stranger Things Season 5 before they get into The Burrows? one step at a time.
Coming sometime in 2025, that should be coming, Stranger Things 5. But continuing to move along here, the Beetlejuice sequel is out there being successful now, and the writers of this film, Alfie Goff and Miles Miller, are developing a movie based on the horror anthology comic series called The Ice Cream Man, which was created by W. Maxwell Price. These are loosely connected horror stories that share the common link of Rick, the mysterious ice cream man, who is sometimes friend and sometimes foe, and he uses his powers to string together tales of woe and horror. So again, this is the writers of Beetlejuice sequel, who are now writing and developing a film based on the Ice Cream Man comic series. Cool. You have some knowledge on this series, I heard you just say?
Yeah, the Ice Cream Man series is, like, weird. It kind of, like, you know, like, kind of popped up out of nowhere. And if the only reason I even knew anything of it is because of the, I forget what I was looking at, but something, it was showing me prices for stuff. And, like, this comic book's value, like, in a time where that kind of shit isn't really valuable anymore, like, skyrocketed. It was, like, way the fuck up there for some of, like, these early issues for it. It gained, like, this cult following real quick. And, I've never seen it. I've never seen an issue. I've never held an issue. I've never read an issue. But I do know of the Ice Cream Man, and I know at times they've been talking about wanting to do a series, wanting to do, are they going to do something animated? Are they going to do something live action? I'm looking forward to it. I'll check it out when whatever it is comes out.
Yeah, when I saw the image of the Ice Cream Man character, I was like, I totally fucking recognize that image, but I feel like I've never heard of this comic series. Like, I recognized the image of the character. There was, like, a sheet, like a screen, like a picture of, like, one of the covers or something. So I recognized
it. It was odd.
Yeah. So, yeah, so there you have it. The Ice Cream Man. Continuing on, Mike Flanagan, who we now
Mike
know.
Mike Flanagan. The King's favorite.
He has taken the reins for the next film in the Exorcist universe. And he was talking to the Hollywood Reporter, where he says that he hopes that his Exorcist sequel will become his scariest movie yet. He says that he has lots of goals and that his team is not making it easy on themselves. He said there's no point in going into a franchise monolith unless something new could be brung, and that he said he chased this opportunity aggressively as he is convinced that he has something new to add, something fresh and much needed, and an opportunity to do something that honors what came before but is not built on nostalgia, a nostalgia experience. He said the expectations are high and that nobody is more intimidated about this than he is. So those are Flanagan's latest thoughts on his tackling an Exorcist movie.
Good luck. That's all I got to say. Good luck.
And speaking of The Exorcist, David Gordon Green, speaking about Halloween Ends, he says that he knows that Halloween Ends, that fans were very disconnected to it, and that he says that he knows the choices he makes are not always the most popular, and he said that he knows the audience was not on the journey that he was with him, that he was excited about taking.
But the Dean still swears that this is going to be the one that people talk about 20 years from now.
I do. I do. Absolutely. 100%. In the same fashion that people have continued to debate and talk about Season of the Witch, man. I truly believe that.
No.
But moving along, if you are in the Cleveland area, look out, Cleveland.
Storm's coming through.
Full Moon Pictures and Charles Band himself are going all out with hosting a Halloween rager in a 130-year-old haunted mansion in Cleveland. This is going to be called the Band Church of Chills. This will be taking place on the last Saturday before Halloween, October 26th at 7 p.m. There are 200 available tickets at a hefty $125. The word is there will be celebrity appearance, merchandise, prizes, and giveaways. There will be an exclusive screening of the new Full Moon film Deathstreamer, and everybody that is there will be part of a documentary about Full Moon Films that is being filmed at this event. Tickets for that go on sale October 1st. So if you are such a fan of Full Moon that you would like to party with them for Halloween and be part of their documentary, Cleveland is the destination for you come October 26th.
Cannot, because I got the King's wedding, man. Otherwise, I would so love to hang out with the Ginger.
You could still be there.
And
it's October 26th.
What you should do, what you should
the evil bong.
What you should all do, and the King of Horror can dress up like Ooga Booga, what you should all do is jump in the Black Dahlia after the wedding, and you should go crash Cleveland in the Black Dahlia.
Yes.
I've never been to Ohio.
Everybody load up in the Black Dahlia. We're going to Ohio to crash the Full Moon Party. I'm dressed like Ooga Booga.
Ooga Booga.
Yeah. Sorry, I have to leave the wedding, guys. We're going to Full Moon.
It's still not Ghoul's okay. Got blackface, right?
Yeah, that's fine. I'm sure it's going to be blackface. Charles Band's okay with that. He's cool. He gets it. That's October 26th, cool. So you have time for the wedding to hit up Cleveland, Ohio.
Fucking A. Five M.
All right, so what's next, Dean?
I will tell you what's next. Netflix's Wednesday series starring the King's favorite Jenna Ortega. The first season is receiving a young adult novelization from Random House Books for young readers. This will be available at all outlets, but if you purchase it at Target, it comes with an exclusive poster. And this young adult novelization of season one of the Wednesday Netflix series will come in at a $15.99 price point.
There you go. If you're a fan, you like novelizations, I got you. Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
there's this shift that appears to be happening with some of the longtime horror franchises transitioning from the big screen to the small. We, of course, know what has happened all along with the Crystal Lake saga, but we also know that the It prequel series, Welcome to Derry, is on the way to Max in the near future. And there's now talk that there's going to be a Halloween prequel series based on the earlier days of Dr. Loomis before meeting Mike Myers. Titus Peoples is behind the project. He said that, extending the world of Halloween beyond Michael Myers, exploring the fascinating character Dr. Loomis is one he wants to tell. He says that the pilot episode is currently 90% written, and that is what is going on in the small screen. And I don't know if we talked about this last time. I think we talked about it in our chat, but Welcome to Derry, the Max series, the showrunner from Welcome to Derry, Brad Caleb, is the new showrunner for the Crystal Lake series. So there's no word on whether any of the existing storylines are going to be used, but that show does have a showrunner and appears to be carrying on. A prequel series about Dr. Loomis.
I'm so against it, man. I'm so fucking against it. Like, you brought it up in the group chat on Facebook before we went, on to do our live episode, but I was like, I saw the article, I read it, and I was like, I'm so against it. Like, it's just, it's not necessary. Like, it's, you cannot do Loomis without Donald Pleasance. You can't. You cannot recast that. Like, they tried it with Rob Zombies with Malcolm McDowell, and it worked in the first one, not quite in the second one, but you cannot do Loomis without Donald Pleasance. He is Loomis. Like, I cannot see anybody else taking up that mantle as Samuel Loomis other than Donald Pleasance. So if they want to do a prequel series, great. Hopefully people like it. But I know I'm just not really behind it because Donald Pleasance was that character. Like, he brought everything to that character up until his death in 95 with Halloween 6. You're just never going to be able to recreate that with another actor. That's my opinion. I don't know what you guys think. I mean, Gould, Dean, but that's my opinion.
Oh, I don't disagree. I think, I think the character is iconic due to the performance of the actor. You know, even Malcolm McDowell's version of it is, it's subpar at best. You know what I mean? Like, could he have done it? Yeah, of course he could have, but... it was the content that we got to see in that film that made that enjoyable. Stuff that we didn't see in the original film. That's kind of where I sit on that. Yeah, I think that they can totally put the Halloween Michael Myers character character set completely to bed.
Yeah, I'm completely in agreement with that. And Dean, what do you think about it? Recasting Loomis in a prequel.
I mean, it's weird, I suppose, but, we were introduced to Dr. Loomis at a certain stage in his life and career in the original Halloween and followed his career from that point forward. Obviously, Dr. Loomis is, arguably, of very few characters, one of the most important characters in the series, of course, one of the most iconic characters in horror for, the big golden age of horror, if you want to call it that. I don't know if we need a story about Dr. Loomis in his younger days. Or I don't know if what story is going to be told, if this is going to be him with similar people with psychopathic tendencies, him in fucking medical school. Like who knows what direction it's going to go. So I just don't necessarily know that story is needed. You know, I feel like in movies these days, whether it's reboots or remakes or longtime legacy sequels, I feel like there always has to be, you know, just so much backstory and so much explanation. Like the original Halloween, like there wasn't much in the way of backstory. Like a little kid killed his fucking sister, fast forward mm-hmm. all the fucking years later, and he goes back to where he killed his sister and kills other people. You know, it was pretty fucking self-explanatory without a whole lot of like in-depth exposition needed. I don't know if we need a story on the background of Dr. Loomis and where he came from. Even if Donald Pleasance was still alive, like he wouldn't be playing a younger version of Dr. Loomis. So like I just don't know if it's a story that's needed.
Yeah, and like you know, even more to the point there too, though, you know, like you're saying, if we go by what the character himself has said in the films, we know that he dedicated his career to Michael Myers. So basically, mm-hmm. from the moment that little kid kills his sister up until the escape and everything afterwards, everything that he does has to do with Michael. So now, if we're not going to have Michael in the series, like you said, it's going to be basically what? Going to fucking medical school, his first couple of years, like in the fucking, you know, in residency. I mean, like, what the, like, you know, what is it really going to be?
Yeah, and even going back to the original Halloween, John Carpenter wanted to have Donald Pleasance film a scene where he's talking to his wife on the phone, saying like, "I'm dedicated to finding Michael and stopping him." And Donald Pleasance is like, "No." Like, we don't need to know Loomis' backstory. He doesn't have to have a wife or a kid. Like, he's just a guy that's obsessed with this killer. Like, that's all it needs to be. And John Carpenter's like, you're right. We don't need to have this. Because I remember when a lot of the sequels came out after he died, a lot of them wanted to have, like, a son of Dr. Loomis or a daughter of Dr. Loomis. And they're obsessed with stopping Michael. So it's not necessary.
No.
Pleasance did everything he did. Yeah,
his obsession would completely keep him from ever being married, ever having kids.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like he is just as psycho as fucking Michael. It's just not, you know, in the same way.
Yeah, Loomis is Captain Ahab, and Michael Myers is Moby Dick. That's why I've always taken him. Like, he's the Van Helsing. He's the Captain Ahab of the story. Like, that's all it is. So, yeah. To do a prequel where he's like, well, I'm going through middle school and I'm in Smithsgrove and I'm
Jamie Lee Curtis Queequeg. What his
name was? Queequeg,
yeah. Queequeg, the fucking the tattooed native.
Yeah, but it's just, again, like I had said at the beginning, like when you lose Loomis, because he obviously died in 95, you kind of lose the story because what's Michael doing now? He's just killing. He doesn't have somebody going after him. So it kind of makes it troubling to get a story going. Like, there's just nobody for him to be an adversary to. And that's why the David Gordon Green movies are okay. Like, the first one I give credit to because 2018 is not so bad. It's okay. But at the same time, you're missing that element of Loomis. Like, he's not there anymore. He's not there to be the guy being like, he's evil on two legs. Like, he's just not there, and you kind of lose it because Loomis is the one that sells Michael. Loomis is the one that tells him he is a demon and needs to be stopped. All these people are like, he's just a guy.
If the doctor doesn't fucking believe in him, then you know how the hell, you know what I mean? That's the thing. If the doctor tells us that he's that evil, then you know that motherfucker's that evil.
Yeah, the guy that's willing to bring a gun and shoot his patient in the face because he believes he's the face of evil. You have to kind of believe him. And that's where, like I said, the Dr. Sartain character in 2018, it was nice to have that. But at the same time, when he puts on Michael's mask, he's like, ooh, look at me. I'm evil now because I like Michael in the video. It's like, no, that's going against everything that Loomis is all about. Like, it's just, it's silly at this point. Like, could have done without it, but they included it. It's just, you know, there's just never going to be another Loomis, which I'm kind of glad they never brought back up. Like, H2O, he's not there. It's Laurie Strode going against Michael. Resurrection, complete fucking mess. You know, but same time, you know, like I said.
Trick or treat, motherfucker.
Yeah. Just no Loomis, there's no Michael. They complete each other. Like the Joker always said about Batman, you complete me. It's exactly. Without Loomis, there's no Michael. Uh-huh. Just no point. They should just stop. But he's a cash cow. Michael will always be a cash cow, just like Jason, just like Freddy. To a lesser point, Leatherface, but still. So we'll see what happens with this prequel series. I am not looking forward to it. But all right, Dean, what's we talking about?
The the American version of season 2 of Netflix's Squid Game.
What if the Joker plays Secret Garden to Batman?
comes this December. Right in the Christmas season, season 2 of Squid Game will hit on Netflix on December 26th. And according to Hwang Dong-hyuk, there's only going to be three seasons. There's only going to be three seasons of Squid Game. So this is the second to last season coming up before the third season. And
the second season, people.
Well, yes. So there are two seasons to go. But they did confirm that it's only going to be three seasons. But Netflix is working on an American version of Squid Game that at this time has the tentative title of Squid Game America. And the word is that they are hard after David Finch to be behind this American version. David Fincher, to be who had, you know, the Netflix film The Killer, that I think it was called Killer or The Killer earlier this year that was very successful for Netflix. So they want to continue to do business with Fincher, and they want him to be the mastermind behind Squid Game America. Apparently nothing has been signed, sealed, delivered about that. And they also say that this American version is rumored to not be an out-and-out remake, but somehow connect to the larger Squid Game world. How that will all play out is unknown at this time, but that is the deal in the Netflix world of Squid Game.
Yeah, it wouldn't make sense for them to try to make it as a remake. I mean, that would just be silly. You could just have just like Hostel. You could have an American, like, version of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, you know, we have two seasons to go to learn more about the world behind the game. And I guess they'll use that to start to, you know, build it out as a much larger organization that somehow is already existing or operating in America. But who knows what'll happen. The David Fincher news is not been signed, sealed, and delivered, but the word is that Netflix is really on his heels trying to make that happen. And then next up, really quickly, it's been quite some time. But Mick Taylor is putting the boots back on as Wolf Creek Legacy. The third movie in this story is going into production. So another Wolf Creek film is on the way. Mick Taylor has played this character of John Jarrett for the two movies as well as a TV series. And there's now going to be a third film. So if you're a fan of the Wolf Creek world, another film is on the way.
I wasn't. Never was a fan of the Wolf Creek movies. I mean, they're okay, but wasn't a fan. But
seen the first one.
Yeah, I saw the sequel too. It wasn't bad. But since we're talking about Spookies tonight, didn't you have a news article about Spookies?
I do, and I saved it for last. I'm holding it right here in my hand.
Here we go. Let's go.
I saved it. I saved it for last because what better way to lead in than this information? So Spookies in the world of horror was a very troubled production. Brennan Faulkner and Thomas Duran were directing this film in 1984, and then there were all kinds of creative and legal issues in post-production. So their version of the film, which at the time was not called Spookies, it was called Twisted Souls, was never finished.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, an investor hired another director named Eugenie Joseph to shoot footage involving a different cast and more monsters that was then mixed together with the footage left over from Faulkner and Duran. That was what was released under the title of Spookies in 1987. And in its time, it's, you know, developed a cult following. So the news is that the producer and co-writer, Frank Farrell, is moving ahead with Spookies 2.
Mm.
Frank Farrell dropped this news in an interview he was doing with the Baron's Hideout podcast at the Dark Arts Festival in London. In Lincoln, Rhode Island last weekend. He also talked to Bloody Disgusting a little bit, and he said that Spookies apparently is doing well enough in its revival that he's already started to put together financing for the sequel, and he's hoping to get a couple of name horror actors into it. He says he's looking to make a film that is almost an anti-sequel. He doesn't just want to rehash what was done the first time. He doesn't even want to make it a typical sequel. He wants to make something that's an animal of its own and different in many ways, the way he's doing it, almost intended as a mockery of what happened to the original film. Farrell said he hated the original Spookies because it was not their film. It was sort of taken apart and reassembled. It was not the film they had made. They did not like anything about what was done to it. He says, despite that, the script for Spookies is a love letter to the fans who have made it possible to make another Spookies movie simply because they responded so positively to the first one. So Spookies was shown on a memorable episode of Drive-In with Joe Bob Briggs several years back, and that is what is happening. So I figured what way to end the news portion of tonight's program than with the news about a potential spooky sequel, as the King of Horror is about to lead us into the world of spooky.
I will lead you into it as well. But yes, everything that the Dean said is true. The movie was originally called Twisted Souls, started in 84 by Brendan Faulkner and Tom Doran. They had filmed an entire movie that was 90% shot, but then there were some financial issues, some budgetary issues, some production issues. So they decided to kind of put the project into somebody else's hands, Eugenie Joseph, who shot all the Creon things. So when you see Creon and you see the kid in the beginning of the movie, that was all created after the fact. Faulkner and Duran wanted to make this kind of a straight shot of a bunch of teenagers going into a house, and they get attacked by various kind of creative monsters. But over the project's time, they got kicked out. Eugenie Joseph got brought in, and it became kind of a thing of its own. Made in 84, not released technically until 87, even though the production release was 86. It was shown a lot on things like USA Up All Night. Joe Bob Briggs made an episode of Monster Vision for Spookies, and it gained a cult status. You know, it's, for me, Spookies is just a fun movie. It revolves around an evil sorcerer, like I had said, named Creon, who wants to get souls so he can bring his wife Isabel back to life. A lot of great creature effects. I feel like for the time being, it's a little bit of an Evil Dead ripoff in some ways. But at the end of the day, it reminded me a lot of Night of the Demons, Evil Dead, but it's just one of those fun popcorn movies that if you're having a Halloween party, I would say put on Spookies, and I think people are going to have a good time. But with that being said, Ghoul, what do you think about Spookies?
Well, it's so Spookies. You know, this is one that I've heard the name of for years. And I guess just really never looked into, like, what the film actually was. I was always under the impression that Spookies was, like, a creature feature. Like something along the lines of, like, Ghoulies and Gremlins and stuff like that. So I was kind of excited when you were like, all right, we're going to do Spookies, because that's totally, like, what I was really, like, I was kind of feeling it, you know? And then this is what I got instead. I didn't love this. I didn't even really like it all that much. Maybe this is the kind of thing if, like, I was young. I guess I tried to look at it and say, hey, if I was a kid and I caught this movie, would I have enjoyed it? I think I might have, enjoyed some of it, but it wasn't the word I'm looking for. It was not sleazy enough for me to have really enjoyed it as a kid. You know, like, for me, I would have needed to see more sex. I would have needed, all the things that, titillated me as a young man.
Titillated.
made my wang fucking hard, you know? at least some titty shots, something, you know? But this is what I was thinking while watching, and I'm like, wow, this is just like Night of the Fucking Demons. And then I'm watching this, and I'm going, man, this is also just like Blood Diner with all that fucking crayon shit and the fucking, trying to bring fucking, the princess back and all that crap. now that you mention it, I do get the Evil Dead vibe, but again, for me, it was Night of the Demons. The entire time I'm watching this, I'm like, this is like they fucking took the script of Night of the Demons and just like made that bad. And I know this was made before that, but like it just still oof. So yeah, I was hoping for something more, but I can understand why people like it. I just wasn't for me.
All right. So, Dean, what do you think about Spookies?
I don't know. Kind of similar to what the ghoul said. But my question, King, I know you said this before, but I just want to clarify. So the sequences in the mansion when, the two carloads of people show up to party, all of that stuff was part of the original vision of the film, and the stuff kid in the drifter in the beginning and – the Creon sitting in his room with his staff kind of controlling everything with that little fucking wolf cat thing. That was all stuff that was added after the fact.
Yeah, actually, and I'll add this too. All that Creon stuff was added by Jeannie Joseph, but also the cast from the original version of Twisted Souls got completely replaced by what we see in Spookies. So it's not even the original cast anymore. They all got replaced. It was all reshot. So, yeah, we're not even seeing the original cast of Spookies. We're seeing a whole new cast, and then all this Creon, the cat person, the drifter, it was all added later.
Got it. So I just felt, I don't know if I would say, that it was not sleazy enough. I don't know if that's the word that I would use. I feel like there was elements of this in some ways feeling like a very low rent, phantasm almost in a way. I found the actors just to be just terrible. And over the top, but not over the top in a way that works. I see the limitations and I feel like I'm watching something that was kind of like a Franken film, that was put together from two different people's movies. It was lacking cohesiveness, and I can understand why, the feelings, as this is, a first time watch for me, I can understand the feelings that this original producer, Frank Farrell, talks about with how they all just, didn't like what became of it. And I feel like I felt that watching it, but I also knew that when watching it. So maybe that clouded my decision or my thoughts about it.
Yeah. And a lot has to do with the producer, Fred Lee, who nobody liked. He wanted all these things added and things like that. The mansion is in New York. And it was in Rye, New York, I want to say, but it was the boyhood home of John Jay.
I went to Rye Playland when I was a kid.
Yeah, he was the first Supreme Court justice and wrote the Federalist Papers. And that house was in disarray when they shot it. And they rose the funds to kind of clean up the house, and it became kind of a famous landmark after the movie came out because they cleaned it up and fixed it up. So, yeah, the John Jay House in Rye, New York. where the movie takes place. But, I mean, I was always a fan of Duke just because it was so New York, you know, with Duke wearing his fucking fake leather. I don't feel like doing anything.
The accent, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, like that, I guess, is part of, like, the imbalances that I felt, because it was like he felt like he was from New York. Like, nobody felt like they were cohesive at all.
Mm-hmm. They all were so different. Like, the ages of all the characters, it's like, are they supposed to be teenagers or are they supposed to be adults?
Old enough to be the dad of the character.
Rich? The one with Mookie,
yep.
The puppet?
No, not Rich with the fucking puppet. The old man with the girlfriend.
Oh, you're talking about Peter. Yeah, Peter definitely felt like he was another movie. Yeah, Peter was a whole fucking thing. But all right, so getting into the movie, 13-year-old Billy runs away from home after his parents forget his birthday. He runs into a Predator-style character called the Drifter, who gets killed by a half-cat, half-man with a hook for a hand as Billy finds his way to an abandoned mansion. Inside the mansion, Billy finds a room filled with presents and balloons. He opens a gift where the head of Creon appears, an evil sorcerer that wishes him a happy birthday. Billy runs off as he's chased by the Catman, who slashes Billy's face until Billy falls into an open grave where the Catman buries him alive. But then we cut to a group of friends that include Duke and his girlfriend Linda, Goofball Rich with his hand puppet Mookie, Megan and Peter, Lewis for some reason, Adrian and Dave and Carol. The group get lost going to a party and find themselves at the mansion from earlier. Creon the Sorcerer wants to collect their souls so he can revive his long-dead wife, Isabel. The friends make their way through the mansion and find a planchette and a Ouija board. Linda puts out the board and uses it as Creon provides the answers in that they'll never leave. Will we ever be able to leave? N-E-V-E-R. So during this, Carol gets possessed and totally becomes a deadite, an evil demon. The group begin to panic and try to leave with Lewis being sucked underground. Immediately running outside and just getting sucked underground. Like, I was like, we have no idea who this character is. He's dead. Part of the reason why I love this movie. It's like, yeah, who is that? Okay, I have to look up the cast credits. That's Lewis. Okay. So the group doesn't know what to do. Duke wants to leave, so they decide to split up in typical 80s slasher fashion, and that's when the zombies also begin to show up, coming through the trees. Duke and Linda leave while Megan, Peter, and Rich decide to head upstairs while Adrian and Dave hang back to be the worst couple ever. Like, they're fucking terrible for each other, but it's fine. Creon manages to wake his dead wife, Isabel, up, who totally wants nothing to do with him. She's like, I don't love you. I don't want to be here. Why the fuck did you wake me? And he's like, but you'll love me again. She's like, yeah, fuck, I will. Duke, meanwhile, falls into a basement where he taunts Linda with a sheet, but then that's when the fart monsters show up. It's so fucking great.
They're Golgothans.
They're Golgothans,
yep. Years before Kevin Smith would do this in fucking Dogma.
Did you see Spookies?
I guarantee you he did.
Yeah. No idea what to do with these fart monsters. They're walking around. They're looking kind of – like, that's what I said. Like, the monsters that we're going to see, they look fucking good. Like, I really do think that for a low-budget movie – like, they managed to make a lot of great creatures for this movie.
I just wish they would have focused more on that. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Maybe make this more like a Cabin in the Woods type of movie, you know, where the focus is on the monsters and not just such a bad fucking representation of people. I don't even want to say teenagers,
right.
Because, they're all in their fucking,
obviously,
you know, they're in their late 20s, early 30s, and fucking the one dude's in his fucking late 50s.
Well, even when, like, before even, like, the planchette and Ouija board breaks out, Linda apologizes to Peter, and she's like, sorry, kids, you know how Duke gets. I'm like, are they the teenagers? Are you the adults? Like, it was so confusing, because she's like, sorry, kids, and I'm like, okay, well, so they're the teenagers, because Peter is obviously in his 40s, so he's not a kid. So, but you know, they
late 40s, early 50s.
It's terrifying, and I love the fact that they try to make Rich like the funny guy, like when he has a 6-pack of beer and he's feeding it to Mookie the puppet. He's like, "Well, I'm just drinking beer." It's like, okay, obviously you're supposed to be the funniest guy in the room, and you're not funny at all. Like, you're just The weird guy with the mustache?
He looked familiar. I just don't know where else I might know him from.
Yeah, he didn't really do much after Spookies. He died kind of early. But, yeah, he didn't do much after Spookies. I mean, he was fun. Don't get me wrong. But, yeah. So the muck monsters at Fart are easily defeated by casks of wine. Rich gets separated from Megan and Peter. And meanwhile, David gets his face eaten off with Adrian by reptile creatures. He's laying with her, and all of a sudden she's like, hey, are you okay? Nope. Face is fucking ripped apart by reptile creatures. One of the reptile creatures jumps on top of Adrian, and she's managed to fend herself, survive. Adrian then gets attacked by a ghost of her boyfriend, and she's like, oh, it's safe. But then he turns into this weird fucking creature and
yep.
electrifies
Look
it.
Out.
Until he melts her face. A lot of face melting. But I thought it was a great effect when this fucking creature shows up and she's like, oh, it's my boyfriend Dave. And nope. Melts her fucking face off. Duke and Linda wander around, and then we get introduced to Corna, the bastard son of Creon and Isabel, who's like this adorable fucking kid with like plastic fangs in his mouth and like a cape and a hood. And he's like, I'm Corna. I was like, you know, this kid had a great time. Like, you know, this kid had a great time being Corna during the entire filming. I was like, I wish I was his age and being in a horror movie where I could just wear fangs and be terrifying. But he's working around as well. Isabel is on the run after this confrontation between Corna and Creon. The Catman is also working around. Isabel runs into a weird witch banshee, which I thought was a great sequence when it's like all webs. Then all of a sudden this weird witch banshee shows up with the mouth hanging open. I was like, okay, cool. The effects are cool.
Catman would be in a lot of danger in today's America.
He would. He'd be in trouble. He'd be eaten. Yeah, he would be eaten if he went to Springfield. So Peter and Megan run into Duke and Linda. Duke and Peter, who have had trouble throughout this entire movie, decide to fight. But it's interrupted when a big fucking Grim Reaper creature shows up. Grim Reaper shows up with the fucking scythe and kills Duke. Unfortunately, our leather-clad Duke ends up dying by the Grim Reaper. Peter, Megan, and Linda escape to the roof, where the Reaper
just
didn't
get, like, punched like into a wall or some shit. Like, I kept waiting for Duke to return. Like, it didn't seem like what happened to Duke would have killed Duke.
No, he just kind of got knocked out. Like, there was no, like, weird vicious death. I don't even want to be here. But when Peter, Megan, and Linda go to the roof to escape, the Grim Reaper just kind of explodes. Like, there's no impetus
Fire.
To why he dies. All of a sudden, they're like, oh, we're on the roof. And all of a sudden, boom, again. I was like, oh, so he can't be outside? Is that what his weakness is? Not be outside.
Yes.
Like, there's
Not
no
the
weird...
Sun.
It's dark. There's no explanation. But this is where, like the Ghoul had said, I got the Night of the Demon vibes. Like, it's you're trapped in this one bottle location. You can't get out. There's no escape. There's constant threats around every corner. Like, I'm a fan of Night of the Demons, and that's why I was also a fan of Spookies, because it had that vibe where it's like you can't get out. Like, there's no exit. There's no car. There's no way out. You're constantly being barraged by fucking weird shit. Like, I like that vibe. You know, and I wish they would bring that back. Like, I feel like that was like an 80s thing. It's like demons, bottle location, can't get out. You know, I don't think we've really kind of seen that. Although, I will say Abigail was kind of that way. Like, I don't know if you guys seen Abigail yet.
I've not seen Abigail.
That definitely had that vibe.
I saw it.
So, yeah. Did you like it?
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah, I felt the same way. I was like, you know what, it's good, you know, but it kind of felt that same way. Where it's like you're in a bottle location and there's really no way out, and you just kind of have to survive until, you know, you last, you know, whether it's until dawn or whether it's until you destroy whatever the threat is. But
and
so anyway, the Grim Reaper explodes. Rich wanders around the mansion with everybody being missing, and he meets a really nice woman that says, "Oh, follow me," but. It's a spider trap.
Oh, yeah, let me do that.
Yeah. You're going to get me my friends, cool. She's like, yeah, follow me. So he decides to walk around until he decides that there's all these weird spider, you know, webs everywhere. He ends up getting trapped, And then all of a sudden, this spider woman turns into a deadly fucking spider and then sucks all the blood out of his body. Probably one of my favorite effects of the movie, seeing Rich in all these spider webs and then just seeing him get sucked dry. And I was like, that's amazing. I love it.
I love getting sucked like that.
Me too. Me too. It's really great. So with Rich being dead, Peter, Megan, and Wendy try to escape, but Carol is still rocking her demon self. Meanwhile, Creon tells Corda to destroy Carol, which he does telepathically. So he splits her head open, and there's a bunch of light coming out from her head. A power field opens up, and this somehow ages Peter, Megan, and Linda through this power field. Peter grabs a potion and tosses it to the melting Carol, which seemingly kills him, Megan, and Linda. So all of our casts are now dead. No explanation, they're just dead. Isabel is now back and tricks Creon, saying she'll love him forever, before stabbing him in the forehead. She escapes outside, but meets a weird baby of hers, saying, "Mama, Mama," before running out and being chased by so many fucking zombies. Like a 4-minute sequence of her getting her clothes torn off by all these fucking crazy zombies. I was like, yep, got to fill up time. The run time's 85, so let's go. 4 minutes of Isabel running through fields, her clothes being torn off by zombies. she eventually finds her way back to the mansion where she finds a car. She then meets a random guy who's like, "Oh, hey, what's going on? I was just kind of hanging out. What do you need? You need saving?" And she's like, "Yes." So she gets into the car with this man. But unfortunately, that man is actually the Catman in disguise, who reveals himself as we cut back to a grave that's pulsating. Creon appears and laughs loudly and wildly as we close out the credits. So a short movie, obviously, but I had fun with it. Like, watching it this time around, I was like, the creature effects are really great for a low-budget movie. You know, the cast, I mean, you're not going to get much out of a cast like this. Like, you kind of hope for the best. I like Carol, I think, the best out of all of them, because she was the one that was like, "Oh, this shit's fucking weird and we shouldn't be here." And then when they put the makeup effects on her, I was like, wow, like top notch. It's not K and B, but pretty close. Like, it's really good effects to have, you know, the weird demonic makeup on her. I think that's the biggest takeaway from Spookies, is that they really kind of pulled no punches with their effects. Like, that's where the whole budget went to.
Yeah, no, like I said, man, I would have liked to have seen more of the monsters, more of, you know, I guess the effects and more gore. I could always use more gore. You know, but that's just me. I like shit bloody, especially if it's going to be something like this. Like, you know, make it messy then, and, like, let's have a dang good time with it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the comparison that you made to Night of the Demons, I was like, it's there, but, like, Night of the Demons, like, isn't that bloody either. Like, there's some good gore effects with Night of the Demons, but it's not as bloody as you think it's going to be. You know, it's one of those weird things where you think, yeah.
Absolutely, and I was kind of, like, I know when we covered Night of the Demons, like, that's one that I was kind of disappointed in. You know, like, I would have liked more from that one, too, considering how beloved that movie is.
Yeah, and I'm a fan of Night of the Demons. And the remake isn't so bad, either. I don't know if you guys have seen that one, with the one with Eddie Furlong and Deora Baird, Sharon Elizabeth. Like, it's not bad. You know,
I keep being on the fence to watch it. So yeah, hearing that it's actually not that bad, it kind of excites me.
Yeah, I mean, it's not one of those movies where I'm like, holy shit, this fucking movie owns. Like, it's so much better than the original. Like, it's a fun watch. Like, they definitely pay tribute to the original without, like, kind of shitting on it, which, you know, that's the thing with remakes. Like, is it going to be as good as the original, but kind of add to it? Like, I've always said about remakes, like, it's going to be good, but kind of add on that. Like, I think forever, my example of a great remake is Fede Alvarez's 2013 Evil Dead, where it's like, you're not pissing on the original material. You're just
but
making
we also
a great
know
movie.
Now that's not a remake, though.
I know.
You know,
I
never felt like that movie was a remake. You know what I mean? I felt like that movie always, like, existed within that same universe.
Like, what would the term be, I guess? Not reboot. Would you call it a reboot, I guess? It's not a remake, like you had said. I guess it would be, like, kind of a reboot, where it's like we're going back to the original.
A soft reboot, maybe?
I guess. I also thought the same thing about the Hellraiser Hulu remake, or reboot, whatever you want to call it, that came out, where it was really fucking good, but it wasn't trying to be better than Clive Barker's movie. Like, it wasn't trying to do better. And I was like, this is just our version. We're going to do what we want to do, and if you guys like it, great. Like, it wasn't trying to improve on what came before it. And again, Nia DaCosta's Candyman, another great example, where it's like, we already know what came before. Like, we're not trying to do better. We're just trying to tell a different story. Like, we're trying to tell you a Candyman story, but we're also not saying it's better than the Bernard Rose movie. Like,
Prey.
That's the time.
You know what I mean?
Prey is a great
example,
too.
Example of that, you know?
Yes, Prey is an excellent example. Like, there's a list of movies where I feel like they nailed it. Like, they got it. Like, they understood what the project was, and they're not trying to say we're being better, but we're going to make what we want to make. I think that's what always works with remakes. Even Tom Savini's 1990s Night of the Living Dead. It's doing its own thing, but it's also because Romero wanted to make money back. So I get why he wanted to do it, but it's not bad. I remember when I saw it the first time when I was a kid, I was like, this movie sucks. The original's better. But going back to it years later, I'm like, this is bad. Like, it's actually pretty good. Like, they're not trying to be better than the original. They're just trying to kind of tell a new story taking place in this zombie universe. Like, you know,
the 2004
it's kind of hard.
Remake, you know, I know that's your favorite.
Well, Dawn of the Dead, again, like, I'm not a fan, you know, but I appreciate the James Gunn script. Like I've always said, like, I appreciate the script because I think James Gunn is a great scriptwriter. It's just, it wasn't what I kind of wanted because I already thought that you can't do better than the 78 version. You know, it's just that's my opinion, but I appreciate people that like the 2000
King's
version.
Opinion, too.
You know, but The
King loves pie.
Yeah, I do love pie. Don't get me wrong. I love Aldrich's pie a whole lot. But, I mean, we're just banting because the movie was so short. And I don't quite want to end the episode just yet. But
I don't know what you're talking about.
But, it's one of those things where, you know, people talk about movies that they love and that they hold dear to their hearts, and then they hear there's a remake, and they're like, well, you're ruining my childhood. And I've never said that about remakes. Like, I've never seen a remake where I'm like, you're ruining my childhood by remaking the movie. I'll be giving it a chance. Like, if I like it, great. If I don't, that's okay. But nothing is ruined. Like, I still have the original. Like, I went to go see Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the remake that they did in 2003. I was like, it's not great. But I still have the 74 version. Like, I still have that version to fall back on. Like, it's fine. So I never really kind of understood why horror fans always feel like they have to yell, you're ruining my childhood when you remake a movie. Like, give it a chance. Like, you might like it. You know, it might not be what you expect, but you might be surprised. And a lot of times I've been surprised more than let down by remakes. I mean, my ultimate letdown was the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, where I was like, oh, this is garbage. Like, there's no redeeming factors to Jackie Earle Haley trying to be Freddy Krueger, because there is only one, and that's Robert Englund. But the Friday the 13th remake, loved it, because that just felt like an extension. That just felt like it's another Friday the 13th movie. Didn't feel like a remake, reboot at all. It just felt like another Friday the 13th movie.
Yeah, I love the beginning of that movie.
Oh, that movie just puts on the gas and never lets up. Like, that's why I loved that remake. Like, everything about it, from, you know, the fan service of Pamela Voorhees all the way to Jason, the fact that he's building a camp where he's got all these traps, like, it was cool as shit, you know? But, you know, that's what I've always felt about it, you know? Just give it a chance, you know? If you're going to love it, you're going to love it. If you're going to hate it, you're going to hate it, you know? And I was like, we're at that age, though, where I feel like we're going to see movies that have been in our time in the 90s where they're going to be like, let's remake Scream. Let's remake I Know What You Did Last Summer. Let's do a reboot of that. It's like,
they're already doing I Know What You Did Last Summer.
There's a remake. There's a sequel of that on the way.
TV series, yeah.
Well, that's a sequel. That's what do they call them? Legacy sequels, right? Scream. Yeah, legacy sequels.
But they did a reboot of the movie as a show.
Scream?
No, I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Did they? When did
that
come out?
It didn't last. It didn't last recently. I think it might have been for Amazon, maybe.
Really?
I believe you're right.
I'm pulling it up right now.
Let me see.
It's what the kids would call woke these days.
Woke. Okay. Yeah, I had no idea. That's crazy. I mean, I'm sure I knew about it. I just didn't know it came out. But so I know they're doing the Legacy sequel.
Talking about it on the show. Yeah,
Amazon
Prime.
Definitely spoke about it.
It was back in 2021.
Whoa! Okay,
and it lasted. It lasted for one season. And it had 8 episodes.
Only 8. Wow. Only 8. So, yeah, I completely forgot about that. Talking about Jenna Ortega, I forgot to mention it earlier because we were talking about horror news, but Sabrina Carpenter, my Taylor Swift, your Taylor Swift, Dean, made a video for
Not even close, bro.
She is. Dean, just be quiet.
No. I wasn't comparing the performers. I was comparing the King's relationship to mine. Like, that's what I meant.
Because I'm a total Sabrina Carpenter fan. But, yeah, she released a video for her song Taste with Jenna Ortega and Corey Cunningham from Halloween Ends.
Corey Feldman?
Death Becomes Her.
She had a nice performance tonight at the VMAs that we caught prior to the show tonight.
Is that right?
Oh, yes. It's very tasteful, but it just goes to show she's definitely a. It's an interesting career that she has developed. You know, like coming from the Ghoul Girl, she was essentially the other character, like the other girl, like the secondary character on Girl Meets World.
For
all intents and purposes, Sabrina Carpenter could have like totally disappeared, just like the actor that played fucking Hunter in fucking Boy Meets World. But
yeah, Ryder Strong.
But no, like fucking skyrocketed, man. Like she developed this huge following in the music scene, and it's just been up. And I know the Ghoul Girl loves watching her, and
I do.
I think I am in agreement.
I completely forgot that she was on Girl Meets World until somebody brought it up. It wasn't you, Ghoul, but it was somebody else on the Facebook, and I was like, oh, that's right, she was on Girl Meets World. She was like the rebel friend. And then I kind of followed her music career a little bit, and I kind of dig her music, and then I watched her music video for Please Please Please. That featured her boyfriend, Barry Keough, and I was like, I'm a big fan of Barry Keough from Saltburn, and his little cameo as Joker that was deleted from the Batman, and I was like, you know what? Like, this is cool. Like, I like it. But, yeah, I like the fact that she has kind of like a horror sense to her lyrics and, you know, isn't afraid to put it out with Taste. Because with Please, Please, Please is a lyric where she's like, don't embarrass me, motherfucker. And the radio edit is a little sucker, and I was like, I like it. I was like, I'm all about this. It's like, I'm having my Sabrina Carpenter moment. I was like, sorry, Tay-Tay. I was like, but Sabrina Carpenter's taking over, man.
Tay-Tay, like, also, Swift, at the VMAs, Dean, I will say this. She definitely was having a lot of fun. She once again proves that she really is a very nice and a good person. And
absolutely.
Yes, you know, I don't really have anything bad to say about Taylor Swift. I just am not like a big fan of the music.
Yeah,
but her herself, she does. I don't know. She looks like she has fun with stuff, and that was cool. Like, you know,
yeah,
she was getting down.
Yeah.
To, like, Eminem like opened the show, and like they cut, and she's like there boogieing to Eminem music. You know what I mean? One second,
mm-hmm.
And then like another chick is like performing, and like she gets over there, and like Taylor Swift just like gets up and starts dancing like with the chick, like not in a way that looked like it was pre-set up or anything like that. She just seems like, you know, like, hey, I dig music, and like this was fun. You know, the one thing is she did totally, like, I don't know, like she looks like she approaches everything with fuck me eyes at times, which I do think is kind of funny, because I don't find her attractive in any way. So I just find it hysterical that it's like, hey, like the girl came up to her and like I didn't know if she was going to fuck her or dance with her. And it was like, wow, look at that.
Yeah,
what's
we're
Travis
at Sabrina Carpenter.
Right,
I'm like,
now?
Yeah, she's taking me to bed. Sabrina Carpenter, I was like, can get it. Like, tell us what
Carpenter's tagging
fun.
You.
Yeah, she is, and I will have no problem doing it. I'm like, thank you, Sabrina. Like, you know, but Taylor's like, yeah, we could have fun, we could dance, so, you know, but no. Sabrina, I was like, yeah, you want to peg? Okay. You know, can we play your music while you do it? Sure. But, you know, like, I have no problem with Taylor Swift. I'm just not a fan of her music. I don't really find her particularly attractive, but at the same time, you know, if she wants to have fun, have fun. But, you know, I'm more of a Sabrina Carpenter guy. She's proven time and time again that she's got good, really music that I can listen to. I'm like, damn, rocking out the espresso right now. You know, I'm a 40-year-old fat man with a beard, and I'm rocking out the espresso. I'm driving down the street.
I cannot listen to the video you just sent me. Is that like a video of her farting and stuff or no?
No, it's a real one. But you should, when you get a chance, watch the one before that also. So it's a real video.
I love the ones when you send them to me and she farts.
Well, it's not real, of course, but it's very funny.
Of course it is. She farts into the mic all the time.
And then the weird thing is that I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about that Ryan Murphy show, Grotesquerie, that the Dean brought up. And apparently Travis Kelce's in the cast. And I was like, oh, is he going to be an actor now? I was like, just play football,
Travis.
Man. I was like, just play football.
I like Travis Kelce. He's a solid baller. You know what I mean? The guy is fucking is a great talent, and he's been so consistently for years. I got no complaints on that. You know, because he's now 34 fucking years old, man. You can't play football forever, especially not in that fucking position. Like, at all, man. You're taking a beating. You're blocking 1 minute. You're fucking catching the next. Then you're taking big hits.
Catching it over
like,
the middle,
dude,
taking the big hits over the middle.
Big hits over the middle.
Yeah.
Exactly, dude. It's surprising he's lasted as long as he has.
I just feel like Jason Kelce has more personality. Like, his brother has way more personality than Travis.
They both have good. Yeah, no, definitely, man. I know they just they have that big podcast deal and shit now, too, so. But, I wouldn't mind seeing Travis, like, branch out and do other things. That'd be cool.
I just kind of felt like it was, like, that Taylor Swift influence. Like, you got to get into acting, Travis. And he's like, okay, whatever you say. Like, you know, it's funny.
They're all doing that shit these days, man. You know, like, we see it with the WWE superstars. You know, fucking Tom Brady's now, you know, doing his broadcasting. I don't know if you guys tried to tune into any of that shit on Fox, but, yeah. You know, we finally found out what the GOAT isn't fucking great at, which is fucking like, hey, you know what? Like,
Terrible, bro. No,
he's really
terrible.
Fucking bad.
It's so awkward. And yeah, like, he doesn't know what to do. It's like Ricky Bobby with his hands. He's like, I don't know what to do with my hands. just put them down at your sides. Like, okay. he's terrible. Like, you know, I mean, he was a great, you know, player for the Patriots, you know, and the Buccaneers. But yeah, no, he's terrible commentary. I was like, take a page out of Pat McAfee's book. Pat McAfee fucking can run a room for an hour. That guy's got the energy. That's what you need. Got to get that McAfee energy, but yeah. But yeah, huge fan of Pat McAfee, though. You know, sad to see him leaving WWE for a while for college football, but he'll be back. But yeah, it was sad to see him leave because him and Cole comment there with Michael Cole was amazing. They work off each other so well.
He's quite funny.
Yep. This works really well. He's all into it. But all right. So as we close out the episode, sorry guys, Spookies wasn't as long as I hoped it would be, but we had some fun. Dean, I believe next week it is your film pick of the week. So what are you talking about next week?
It is my film pick of the week. And I do believe that this one has not been covered on the show. If it has, please let me know and I'll make a pivot. But we are talking about a film that can be found on Netflix that is titled The Autopsy of Jane Doe.
We have covered it.
Yes. Okay, yeah. So I'm going to make a pivot.
Emile Hirsch.
Okay, I thought.
Emile Hirsch,
yep.
Right?
Brian Cox.
Yep.
Yes, okay, so let me make a quick pivot. I thought if we did, I was not on that particular episode. We will watch something called, hang on. We still have a couple minutes for me to sort this. So,
yep, go ahead. Yep. As we go, yep, as we always do, looking for the Dean's pick of the week.
Yes, I'm pivoting right now.
How about the Wyatt Six, guys? You liking it? I do. Uncle Howdy's great.
Jeez.
You know what? I meant to watch that and see his in-ring performance. How'd he do?
Well worth it. He definitely did great against Chad Gable. American Maid said no chance. But all right, Dean, what do you say?
I'm still working on it. Keep talking.
But, yes, it was well worth it. They had the six-man tag team last week on not last week, but on Monday Night Raw. Wyatt Six versus American Maid with Chad Gable, Ivy Nile, and the Creed brothers. That was an all-out brawl. Eric Rowan brought it the entire time, just fucking destroying the entire ring. Nikki Cross doing her best, Sister Abigail. It was great. But it was great to see that JoJo Offerman Wyndham's fiance before he died is like, I can't even watch it sometimes. Like I hear the music and my kids are like, that's dad's music. And she's like, yes, but Uncle Tay Tay is coming out with Uncle Howdy. Like, it's okay. You know, it meant a lot. Like the fact that she at least tries to watch it, but yeah, it's hard. I mean, I get that, you know, dad far too young and you know, the kids are still around Nash and his other kids, but you know, the lantern's still lit. As the Dean looks for his next pick for next week as we close out tonight's episode. Don't want to get too much in the break because that's set.
He got it. He's got it.
All right. Let me just make sure this is available to watch somewhere.
We'll figure it out.
Yes. Okay, Shudder. Yeah, perfect. I don't believe we've covered this one. And if we have, I'll have to figure something else out. But I'm talking about 2015, something called Baskin.
No, we have not covered Baskin, but I do love that movie. So, yeah.
Okay. Baskin from 2015 is the pick for next week.
The Turkish Hellraiser. Yes. I do love that movie. So, I can't wait to talk about Baskin. Big fan of that.
I apologize
right.
for the delay. I must have not been on the episode when the Autopsy of Jane Doe was covered.
That's okay, because I think Baskin's a better pick anyway. So can't wait to talk about Baskin.
I do feel the need to say this because I feel like it's an important element of what we do here at Talking Terror, and I don't think that we should choose one of the other because one might be a better movie. Our aim is to just watch whatever movie and tell our very loyal audience what we think about it.
I agree, but since we already talked about Autopsy of Jane Doe, I think Baskin's a strong choice for the secondary pick for you. So, yeah,
right.
I'm looking forward to it. So we'll talk about that next week.
Well, there we have it, Baskin from 2015. And as I said, you can find it on Shudder. It is currently on Shudder.
There we go.
On Shudder.
All right. So as we close out, why don't you go ahead and sign us up off to you?
Yes, thank you once again for joining us and listening to all of the brilliant monologues that we have provided with this evening, as well as our group discussions and all such things. We'd love to talk about all of this stuff each week for you. So good night. We'll see you next week for Baskin.
All right. Go, why don't you go ahead and send yourself off?
Stay scared, everybody. Mwah! In honor of the monkey.
Love that, monkey. We'll never forget you. We love you always. Good luck at Lego. You're going to do great. As always, for me, I'm your old pal, the King of Horror, Andy G. Thank you so much for listening to this episode where we talk about spookies, Hail Satan, Hail Your Sales, Hail Odorous, watch horror movies, keep America strong, and we'll see you back here next week for Baskin.